Well, a very good evening out there, and thanks for tuning in here to Terrace Talk here on Monday Bank Holiday Monday evening here, even coming live as always from the Tralee studio here in the capital of Kerry, of course. Liam and John, of course, they'll give us their take on Kerry's win over Meath in the Sam Maguire Championship. Andrew Morris will be on shortly. He's around the corner in Mountalk Park, keeping an eye on the Kerry FC Treaty United game for us. And after 7 this evening, we catch up with Kerry's latest All-Ireland champions, and that's the Kerry Ladies Pool Team. And from 7:20 this evening, we have the Kerry's Kennedy Cup Team in studio, looking ahead, I suppose, of their campaign just a week out from the action. Now, if you want to give us a call, 066 712 3666, or text us 083 300 3300 on WhatsApp, and of course we'll give us a chance to, I suppose, inform the show of what you're thinking out there. Ivan will be back in studio shortly, and Keane is on sound as well. Now it's 9 taking on 8 this evening at Mountalk Park in Tralee, as Kerry FC take on Treaty United at Division 1. Kerry, of course, coming off the back of an narrow 1-0 loss, of course, last Friday, looking to get back to winning ways, and they are going pretty well. And their first is Andrew Morrissey, just at half time or resuming second half, Andrew?
Just at half time, Donal. Yeah, so the Kerry lads are just out now, kind of getting their pre-second half warm up done. The Treaty team have yet to emerge for the second half yet, but it's so far so good here at Mountalk Park, Donal, because Kerry have had a brilliant opening first half, and as I just said to Abigail towards the end of the afternoon show there, how they're not 2 or 3 nil up is beyond me, because one of the instances at the very end of the first half resulted in the ball hitting the inside of the post and rolling right across the Treaty United goal line before it was eventually cleared. And then not 2 minutes later, another brilliant save by Chambers in the Treaty goal meant that he denied Valeri Dahlia. So it's been all good so far, in fairness. They've had a brilliant opening first half. The goal came in the 8th minute initially from a great bit of work by Sean McGrath. He put through Ryan Kelleher, who slotted another little kind of first touch pass through to Kennedy Mechie, and he eventually slotted home. But so far so good. Crowd are enjoying it, Donal, as you can imagine, on a bank holiday Monday evening. The weather is nice. There's a bit of a breeze blowing, but it's still not particularly cold. There's plenty of shorts and t-shirts around here, and people are in good form, especially after a first half display like that, Donal, you know.
Mm-hmm. How important will it for Kerry to see this game out now? They're 1-0 up, they're at home, they're coming off the back of a home win the last time as well, and points are crucial to get. Will the chat be in the dressing room to see this out, lads?
I think so, yeah. Now I'm just looking over here, it looks like Nathan Gleeson is about to be introduced. I'm not sure who the change is going to be just yet, but I'll keep an eye on that. But I will say that I think that's exactly it, Donald, because they've been playing really well, and what you don't want to do at this point is concede, especially early in the second half, because then you've got chasing the game again. So it looks like Daniel Okuda is probably it looks like the one who's going to be replaced by Nathan Gleeson. He had picked up a yellow card just towards the end of the first half there. He was having a right tangle with the left back for Treaty, but they're going to have to go after this. And you know what, it was kind of mentioned here in the commentary box and in the press box by a lot of our colleagues here, that it's a very attacking team lined up for tonight for Conor McCarthy's men, so I think they will probably want to go after this. I mean, don't get me wrong, Donald, they'll still need to protect that 1-0 lead at all costs. They're defending really well, the four lads at the back, Koss in particular, and O'Connell on the left side, Williams on the right, and Andy Spain, the captain, inside him. But to be honest with you, they've been playing really well, but this is always the danger moment at Mountalk Park. It's one of those venues where when you're playing against the breeze, you're under the cautious mob, and Treaty, of course, have nothing to lose. They just have to go for it now at this point. So it's going to be an interesting second half, no doubt. Treaty are just returning out now. There's confirmation there of the substitution, or that Nathan Gleeson is in. He's going to come in on the right in replace of Daniel Okuda, who had a very interesting first half. He himself was involved in a couple of chances, but as I said, picked up a yellow card, having a right good tussle. But Gleeson certainly won't weaken this team. But looking forward to this, Donald. Second half is about to begin, but as we say, it's going to be all to play for here. But Kerry FC certainly the happier two teams, 1-0 up as the second half is about to get underway.
Okay, thanks very much, Andrew Morrissey. We'll be back to you there just after maybe 6:25. Through the second half, and hopefully Kerry can see that game out. Currently 1-0 ahead of Treaty United, just around the corner here in Mountalk Park. Now John and Liam join us in the studio as we look back to that most exciting game yesterday. It's kind of amazing, lads, you know, we win by 15 points, we're kind of just walking through the championship at our ease, and there seems to be kind of a, Liam Brosnan, an indifference with Kerry supporters. You know, we're not doing enough, we're not playing well, our midfield aren't challenged enough, we're not getting enough goals. We got two, we didn't get enough of them. we took all day for our forwards to score. is it just kind of an indifference with the whole GAA Championship? Do you know, there's very few games that kind of sparkle out and people are talking about today compared to the hurling. I mean, week after week, the hurling boys are jumping off every ditch, even the under 20 championship final there the last day. It's just hard to get excited, Liam, isn't it?
It is, and it's not Kerry's fault. I think, like, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's the whole championship, the whole football scenario at the moment, the way it's being played. Everyone's kind of down with the whole thing. You know, everyone you meet in the street, anyone who, like, it's a hard watch now, and it is. And look, the Kerry Meath game was no better. You know, there was just such a vast gap of standards between the two teams. Like, Meath were, you know, they were poor, to be honest. But then Kerry, we're still guessing where we are. You know, that kind of a way. We're hoping once we get into Croke Park, you know, quarter final stage, that maybe everything will lift. You know, and I think, you know, that's the one thing, I suppose, from Kerry, you know, the one thing you'll be clutching onto when the bigger teams start you would be stepping up a couple of gears, all right. But the one couple of good aspects I take from the weekend is that, you know, when teams put up a mass structure, and we knew this, that Meath were going to do it, and Louth will probably do it the next day, that we are getting scores from our midfielders. Tony Braston's chipping in. You know, we're not over reliant on the usual scorers. Mm-hmm. And I think that will help us going forward. You know, Joe Connor got forward, Dermot got his score. No, at valuable times. I know at the end we were just kicking for fun. But in the first half, when we needed scores, you know, Tom Sullivan went for Brino big lead. You know? So we are getting scores from other angles, which is good to see. But overall, I'm still trying to see where we are, to be honest, because when Meath did attack us, even though they couldn't punish, you could see there was gaps appearing, you know. So that's the only thing I'd be worried with. But that game will look, it's a box ticked, that's mm-hmm. all it is. Roll on to the next one, and I think quarter final stage will be, like we said a couple of weeks ago, if we could fast forward to the quarter final stage. And this thing with the hurling and football then as well, like, is if you had 10 or 12 of the best football teams playing each other week in, week out, you'd have a very good championship as well. Yep. You know, so they're two different competitions. They're two, you know, the way they're set up, it's just, I think it's unfair saying that hurling is so good and the football is poor. It's just, I think it's the way football is set up at the moment.
Yeah. And of course, you're catering for less teams playing the hurling at the highest level, where, exactly. I mean, at the moment we have 24 teams trying to win the championship, of which you're only going to get rid of four of them in your
squad. That's all, yeah.
John Kennedy, does it suit the management, Jack O'Connor, for people to be talking about how indifferent we are, because they can go back and do their business and whatever they are? They don't have to go into second gear or third gear. They haven't been really challenged. But yet it gives them time maybe to roll the bench, give other fellas, an eye-opener into championship. It's still championship regardless of who you're playing. He tried out three new players yesterday, new in the sense that, you know, they haven't been in the first 15 in a while. Was that a big step for them? And again, I suppose, going back to it, did they do enough to kind of show that, God, we'll nail ourselves down for the next night?
Yeah, he's running the bench, as you said. He's giving fellas game time. But the level of competition is not there, being honest. Like, the intensity, mm-hmm. you know, it had a kind of a challenge game effect the last day, to be fair. Played at a slow pace. You know, we were never going to be beaten, no question about it. Are the lads that he's trying, are they going to contest against the Graham Sullivans and these guys? I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. But they're getting game time, which is very important. But I think it's the worry that I'd have is that, you know, and we said this when we saw the group stages, the three games we have, like, we're going to learn nothing, really. You know, you're going to be, if you don't win and win comfortably, there's something wrong. And you're going into quarter final without a real test. You look at the other divisions, the shocks that have happened, you know, Cork beating Donegal, Derry, look, are who would have said Derry would, after two games, would be in bottom of their group? They'll still qualify, probably. And, you know, these are the teams that we've spoken about, Liam and myself, you know, the top six or seven teams. And when we come up against those, it's a good couple of levels up. But look, we got the result. The performance was indifferent, but the main thing was to get the 2 points and move on to Louth.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the game, let's talk about the game, I suppose. As I said, it's hard to get excited about the game, but let's pick the positives out of it. Go back into midfield, Liam Braston. I suppose, to be fair, it's a fledgling partnership that is kind of, I suppose, they're getting more game time anyway together. They moved on another small bit yesterday, didn't they?
I thought Joe O'Connor were very close to man of the match, to be honest, for me.
What's the man of the match?
They gave Tom Sullivan.
Well, I know they gave Tom Sullivan.
But he was my man in the match anyway.
Tom's half embarrassed.
No, but Joe's, and even in the past few games, you know, his work rate, he's getting into, he's putting his body in a lot of places, you know, getting stuck in there. And I think he's a big plus for Kerry this year, Joe O'Connor.
His big thing yesterday was that he got the ball turned over for the goal. I mean, the last couple of days he's ended up in front of goal and he's butchered or murdered the chances. But I mean, he turned the ball over. He also got a point very early on in the campaign as well. And he seems to be comfortable at midfield.
Yeah, and you know, we'd be hoping for the same now for Diarmuid. You know, we all see and we all know what Diarmuid can offer. You know, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks he can really push it on again, because if we are to contest an All-Ireland final, we're going to need Diarmuid O'Connor, you know, and Joe O'Connor at the peak of their performances.
Does it take a while, John Kennedy, for a good midfield partnership to become a good midfield partnership? Because I mean, if you go out every week and you play with a different fella, different 8 or 9, but you take a couple of games, you take a few beatings, or you take a few games where people are giving out you, how long does it take before you kind of really get into the swing of things and really know what's happening? And the potential for what we're doing with midfield at the moment, is that potential massive?
Well, I think that it's a learning thing, you know, and I think we're improving. As I agree with Liam, Joe in particular, you know, back from a terrible injury. What I like about him, he comes off the shoulder, he's available, he's popping up in the attack, got a point to Leicester, could have been a foot lower and it would have been a goal. But I think, you know, midfield is, while it's not as critical as it was because of the kick-out system and stuff, you know, you're the link between defence and attack. You need great stamina, you need great athleticism, and I think that the two lads are complementing each other well. And they're actually coming in when, you know, the David Mournes and the Jack Barrys and these fellas have gone. In midfield is everybody looks at it. It's the focal point. We're comparing these Leicester. They have to make their own mark now, and they are making that. And as well as that, they're coming up against two of the best teams two of the best players in every team. Yeah. Midfield, all the midfielders are coming up against every county. They're top quality, and you know they're doing very well. And they're improving. Joe in particular, and I think Diarmuid, he seems to be on the upper curve. And we'll be looking for more.
Mm-hmm. Go back to the '80s. Let's go back a while. Jack O'Shea, number one midfielder and the whole lot at the time. How hard was it for Mico and that team to find another person that could complement him, or was Jack kind of left off and done his own thing? I mean, I know Ambrose rocked in the mid-80s into midfield. It must have been a daunting position for Ambrose to go in as well, as basically as a young fella.
There's no doubt about it, and I think if you look at it at that time, Jacko was the man that was box to box, as we'll call it. Ambrose was the anchor around the middle, you know, and they complement each other very well. And you know, he was winning the high ones. Jacko had the freedom to go, and without it being, you know, over tactical at the time, Ambrose kind of dropped back in as a in front of the half back line, without it maybe being implemented, or without it being pinpointed.
There was no name for it at the time.
Very similar now. While there's been a lot of football has evolved, but the basics have remained the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to win the middle, and when you break the tackling, you go. And you know, Joe Connor's done that now. Jacko did it, and he was one of the best at it, to be fair. Like, you know, and he got some fantastic scores, some great goals coming off the shoulder. But it's a very difficult position to play in, because you have to be a defender and an attacker, but you've also to be, your level of fitness has to be superb, really, because the pace of the game at the moment, even though it's a swarm defence, you know, you're getting hits, you're taking the ball into the tackle, and you have to be available to take it back from the forwards, but you've also be there as an outlet for the defence.
Mm-hmm. And of course, interesting enough, yesterday the two opening scores came from a midfielder.
Diarmuid kicked the first one
and Joe kicked the second one, and Diarmuid got the assist from Jason Foley, which was the fullback, which is kind of unusual enough, and of course Joe Connor, that was his first championship point as well, scored, and well done to him. Come here, if the midfielders were scoring, the forwards weren't scoring quite a lot, Liam, and certainly not for long enough. In the first 20 minutes, it was all midfielders and backs.
Yeah, and look, that's going back to your opposition. You know, when you were being double teamed and triple teamed, why our forwards and midfielders and defenders were open, because they were just watching. They were watching the forwards more than they were watching them. Like Breno Begley and Tom Sullivan waltzed in. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Sullivan had enough time, you know, to kick a couple of pints. With the pint he had, he could have ran back and got the ball and came out and kicked it over the bar again. There was no one beside him, like, because they were concentrated. And And that's something we've been saying all year, that we have to get, we have to do that, because we can't be forcing the ball into David or Paddy or Shawnee the whole time. When we're open, we need to be punishing them. And what I like yesterday as well, and I know this thing about goals, but you know, the two goals that we got, you know, I thought with the last 7 or 8 games that we've been playing, we had opportunities for goals. We either butchered them or we kicked the ball over the bar. We just gave that extra pass yesterday, mm-hmm. and we hit the back of the net. And I think that's something that we need more of. If we're to win in All-Ireland, we have to hit the back of the net. If we're going to be playing the Dublins and all these Donegals, you're going to have to hit the back of the net. And I think that's one bright thing for me. Even though we got the goals, it was the way the goals were scored for me. It was we weren't just happy of tapping the ball over the bar. We just gave that extra pass and we hit the back of the net.
Yeah, it hit the game interesting enough. They were kind of playing 3-on-2s and 3-on-3s, kind of bring the ball from midfield, back of the net, back of the net, back of the net. So maybe it was something that was kind of conscious. Jack Connor said afterwards he was delighted the goals were scored, because now people can stop talking about it. Shut up over now. It's done. We've got the goals. We can rock on. Mike Breen, you're a big Mike Breen fan.
Yep.
Centre-back yesterday, no Tadhg Morley, obviously sitting out, enjoying the fine weather above in Meath. I mean, how big a performance was it for Mike Breen? How important was it that he got done the whole game, basically, and sat away through? And how comfortable was he?
Yeah, it was a big game for Mike. And, you know, like, it's like that, we have Tadhg Morley there. We know what Tadhg can offer. So it was good for Mike to get minutes under his belt, because Mike will be, like, when we get to Ireland, hopefully semi-final and maybe final, no, we need a bench, and we need fellas, whether they start to come on or we need a squad. And I think Mike will be a valuable, you know, asset there, either as a wing back or a centre back. You know, he's an option, and you know, there's so many games now, week in, week out. If we pick up an injury, you need backup, and I think that was important to get that game in Mike's legs yesterday.
Mm-hmm. John Kennedy, 24 minutes gone, Kerry Shawnee Shea was the first forward to score a point, 6 points to 3, and we're kind of here, you know, we're winning on points now, we're heading for the line. Meath kicked 7 wides at that stage.
Yeah, they kicked 10 altogether in the first half, Donald.
Yeah.
You know, they were a bit sloppy with their kicking. You know,
poor decision making,
kick from outside the zone, maybe not getting the. We spoke about the goals, just going to the goal. I mean, who got the two goals for us? David Clifford. The go to players are the guys you have to. You know, the Matthew Costello's, like, he's the guy, he should be the finisher for Meath. He was well marked by Jason. He wasn't getting any chance, you know, he was bottled up.
And kicked 2 points.
Yeah. And, like, there was you know, you had wing backs, you had midfielders, wing forwards shooting from outside the area, and they were never going to score, and that drains a team, because it's fine being defensive, but when you break, you have to punish, and they did get the chances. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's the point, I suppose. The point is that they had 7 wides by the 24th minute of the game. I mean, like you said, okay,
the only thing that goals was there was a swirling breeze down there, because we didn't score too many of them in the second half too easily. We did a lot of wides too.
A lot of wides, very.
Yeah, you know, so there was a swirling breeze down at that end of the pitch.
One of the fellas that's standing out all through the championship, I think, is Tony Brosnan. He's one of those fellas that we probably mightn't have included him in the first six conversation in the middle of January, Liam, but I mean, he's certainly forcing himself into the team now, and he's playing better. And I remember the time Jack Connor getting a bit of maybe stick of bringing him out of corner forward and putting him kind of in an isolated position where he's kind of like a pretend playmaker. He hangs around, picks up the ball, dribbles the whole lot. He I mean, if you were buying and selling him, his money value is going up.
Definitely. And you know, we always knew he was a good passer, you know, and that's, I suppose, Jack's seen that, you know, because getting back to teams marking David inside and Shawnee, they bring so much attention that we need kickers outside. And you know, Tony has just proved that he is a kicker. And I suppose the biggest thing that we used to give out to Tony was that he wasn't kicking the ball. You know, and I suppose that was coming with a bit of experience. And I suppose Jack is saying to him, no, Tony, if you're open, just have a shot.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
his accuracy is quite good.
His accuracy is very good. Look, if you go to any county league matches, county championship matches in the last few years, he's up there in the top 3 or 4 scorers in the county. You know, so we know, and I suppose that's where the frustration came, why we weren't playing him closer to goals, because we knew he was a scorer. But obviously, with David inside drawing so much attention, that Tony is going to get open outside. And not only that, he is a very good passer, you know, so he can hit them little dinky balls in front of the corner forward or Paul Gainey or Shawnee or inside as well. So yeah, he's a man that's really come to trumps for Kerry.
The role suits him, Liam,
that he has at
the moment, in fairness. It's just
a bit of freedom,
yeah. And you said it, he nails the kick pass, he's a great football brain, and he's not afraid to shoot either, like, you know.
And he's adding a couple of scores.
Oh, he's consistently, well. Yeah.
Let's talk about a guy from West Kerry who's willing to kick a few points, Breenor Begley.
Breenor Begley, yeah, great to see him. And he's back, coming to his best.
Yeah.
You know, kicked with confidence, kicked a couple of 3 points yesterday. But I think that Begley, we knew, you know, he had an injury and he was out for a long time. But it's you know, Jack O'Connor has been always saying about the panel. But I think, you know, if you have 8 or 9 backs or 10 to pick 6 from, then the bite in training is there, and the same with the forwards. He's building it up nicely, and these guys are on form. So, you know, the Tig Marleys, the Graham Sullivans, you know, these guys will have to fight to get on. Obviously, they're the guys in possession, but the Mike Breens and the Breen Begleys and these, they're playing well.
Are they closing the gap, though, on the main fellas?
They're closing the gap. I think they are, yeah. In fact, and you see, the more game time they get in Championship, that game yesterday for Breen Begley, regardless who you're playing, 3 points, his confidence will be up. So when he goes back into training tomorrow night or whenever they go, you know, he'll be buzzing, and that's what it's about. And that competition inside is very hard to beat it, Liam.
Yeah, the only thing I hope, that I know our defenders are kicking pints, but their first job is to defend. Now, when it comes to the latter end of the stage, yeah, of competition, when you meet the better teams, defence is probably number one, and I think that's we better not forget that as we go forward.
All out attack, that's where we're going. At half time, of course, Kerry had 10 out of 15 chances scored, Meath 3 out of 13. I mean, Culmore going in at half time, they created the chances. I mean, the gap was there. You're playing a team that are, for all the world, a grade above you, maybe Kerry looking to win an All-Ireland, Meath just getting out of Tailteann Cup. How depressing is it for a manager to go back into the dressing room and say, looks at the thing, the sheets in front of him and says, you've only scored 3 out of 13?
Yeah, I think even if you go back the week previous, like being beaten by Louth, that was a killer blow for Meath, do you know.
They were low in confidence.
You're going in against one of the teams that's rated to go all the ways, you know, and as you said, you go in, you had chances. That was a deflated dressing room, very difficult to lift them.
Even Colm O'Rourke is deflated. You could see it in his interviews and his body language. You know, what do you do? You know, where do you go? Like he said in one of his interviews, like, there's no Conor Callaghan's or David Clifford's or Shawnee Shays in Meath. You know, where do you go?
They have to build it up slowly.
Yeah.
And start somewhere. We will take a quick break. After a break, we'll get through some of your comments. A lot of comments coming in, actually, on the game. Some, obviously, not on the game as well. And we'll get to them after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Kerry FC are taking on Treaty United just around the corner here at Mount Hawk Park, even. The last time we were there, it was 1-0 to the home side. Let's cut across to Andrew Morrissey and see what's the latest.
Yeah, and the good news is, Donal, it's at 2-0. It's been none more so than deserved as well. Kerry FC have been absolutely outstanding in the second half. There's 65 minutes on the clock now as Kerry just cleared the ball off the line here, actually. I think that's probably the second time Treaty have gotten anywhere near the Kerry FC goal in the second half. Just to go back to the opening moments of the first half, a free kick after a foul on Nathan Gleeson, who's been causing serious problems, resulted in a brilliant shot which just ended up going wide. But then on 52 minutes, it was brilliant work by Ronan Tehan, Darren McCarthy and Sean McGrath, who've been having excellent games here for Kerry FC today. Tehan in particular has been everywhere. He played a lovely ball into Ryan Kelleher, who skied his shot. Eventually he went over the bar. Kerry just clear a corner here again by Sean O'Connell, and McGrath pumps it long out towards Valerie Dolly, who's chasing this one down, but he's been chased by two Treaty men. But then it was all good news, because absolutely brilliant work by Tehan on the 54th minute, out on the left hand side, drilled the ball low hard into the box, and it was met by Evan O'Connor, the Treaty man, who put the ball into his own net. And OG, but none more so than Kerry deserved, because it was only a couple of minutes later that they probably could have gotten themselves another one. This time it was from Dahlia just outside the box. He took a bullet of a shot, but parried brilliantly well by Corey Chambers in the Treaty goal, who, to be fair, if you had to pick a man of the match for Treaty at this point, it has to be the goalkeeper, who's really kept them in the game. It's getting a little bit Munster derby-ish though at this point, Donald, because we're seeing plenty of yellow cards being doled out. Just as you came to me there, Sean McGrath picked up a yellow card straight after Nathan Gleeson had, and Lee Devitt for Treaty, and I just see Valeri Dahlia has also just picked up a yellow as well. So there's been a couple of very heavy challenges going in your typical Munster derby. But so far, after 66 minutes on the clock here at Mount Hawk Park, it's all good news so far. It's Kerry FC 2, Treaty United 0. Back to you, Donal.
Thanks very much, Andrew. It certainly makes the Kerry Meath football match seem like a tour affair. Plenty of yellow cards going in there as well. Let's hope they get to the end 2-0 up, and they could do with the win, of course, having won at home last time out as well. That'll be a crucial result, and it's nice to get a home win whenever you get a chance. Comments coming in, quick comment, Donal, can I big shout out as well this evening to the under 11 Ivra Eagles team, who played at halftime during the Munster Ulster URC game last Saturday. Great experience for them, and some of them were lucky enough to meet the players afterwards, including Peter O'Mahony. Well done. Donal, sincere condolences to all of Tom O'Connor's friends and family down in Kemir and indeed around Rathmore as well. Tom was a huge influence in all things Kinmare and certainly in Kerry GA as well. John Kennedy, Tom Connor, certainly a man you would have met along the way.
Yeah, Tom was a great GA man, great character. I played Donal 91, Donal, and Tom was the trainer, and we won the All-Ireland. It was one of the highlights, I'll be honest with you. He was a larger-than-life character, a real genuine man, and we went down to assist. Teddy Harrington was captain. We went down to assist for a celebration, and Tom was there, and we had a reunion there going back about 2 years ago, and, you know, he suffered. His late wife passed away, but Tom was... He was a friend to all of us. Great GA brain, great football brain. He was involved with Paddy, and in the senior team afterwards, but did great work in Kinmare with the school. Mm-hmm. And a huge loss to the area, and I haven't heard, you know, it's not because a person passes away, but I've heard nobody having a bad word to say about Tom. Mm-hmm. He was that kind of a guy. He couldn't even give out you on the field, you know. He'd call you and have a word with you. But one interesting one was we beat Waterford in the Munster final up in Dungarvan, and we were promised that the All-Ireland home final would be, it was a home final they called it that time, would be on in Croke Park before Meath in Dublin, the third replay. But Tony O'Keefe, the secretary, said it was going to be on in Thurles on the following Friday night, and Tom said, we're going to Croke Park or we'll be going nowhere. That is true. And we were down at Lawler's Hotel having the food, and Tony came in, a big smile on his face, and he said, Tom, we're going to Croke Park. And we did, and it was a huge occasion, because that game went to the wire with Dublin and Meath again. We won, and the Dubs supported us. We were playing Meath, and the Hill cheered every score we got. One of the highlights for Tom O'Connor, and may he rest in peace, and our condolences to all the family.
Yeah, absolutely. He had the B&B, of course, blowing Kim. I remember him from that as well. Huge involvement with the school as well, Tom. And of course, surprise, surprise, a Rathmore man.
Rathmore man,
absolutely. They were all good. Donal, what a result for the Kerry senior Camogie team, defeating Dublin at the weekend, 2-12-13 points. Congrats to all concerned. Donal, why is there so many negative Kerry fans out there? We won by 15 points, playing a side who didn't really want to play us at all.
It kind of sums it up
a small bit. Donal, it's a job well done. Let's just move on. We got our goals, we kept a clean sheet. Disappointed that none of the new players really shone out. Okay, fair enough. Two goals at last, well done Kerry. A win is a win. They won't need to exert themselves until the quarter final, as Liam has said, and Cork's win shows Kerry's win was better than people might have thought. There we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here's one for you. Is the Munster Championship much better than the Ulster Championship?
Well, if you go by the results,
you come in here week after week, and Ulster is great, and sure, they're all fantastic, and they're all skipping each other, and they're all fantastic. And then when they get out and compete with the rest of the country, Cavan were hammered. Okay, Tyrone beat Clare. Donegal were beat. You can add them all. They're not going too well.
They were beaten a number of times.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose they do take skills. That's the one thing in Ulster. They do take skills out of each other for a couple of weeks, and I think Derry are proving it now after a long league campaign. No, this seems the batteries are gone. And you know, even looking at Mickey Hart's interviews as well, and looking at body language, they just can't put a finger on it. Yeah. What's gone wrong? But at the same time, and John said it there off air earlier, I still would not like to meet him in an All Ireland quarter final, because they're a team that, you know, they have the footballers. Yeah. They just need something to click now to get them going again. No, it looks like they'll beat Westmeath, all right, so they will qualify for the prelims.
Is that a given though? I mean, Galway yesterday, your friend Shane Walsh, of course, ran half the field and got an intercept goal. But other than that, I mean, Westmeath were in that game all the way to the end, John.
Yeah, Westmeath are a team, I'll tell you, Dizzy Dolan has a great job of doing with those lads. Yeah. You know, they're playing a nice brand of football.
They were at home against Galway, though.
Yeah, they were at home. Yeah. But they're a difficult team to beat. They're well set up. They have a few very good forwards, and you know they've got a few good results over the last number of years. But
it still should be a bridge too far. But Derry are going in there with no confidence whatsoever.
No confidence whatsoever. And like, how many times have we said it about goalkeepers? Like, will they ever learn? Is there anyone inside in the management team that will just tell the goalkeeper, "Will you stay at home and do your job"? But no, there seem to be a team now that are really under pressure.
Yeah,
and the pressure's coming out. And see, when you have a high profile manager, then as well, all the spotlight is on you as well. So there's a bit of
John Kennedy, Armagh, the spotlight taken off them for ages because of income trolls and all that, but they're progressing nicely.
They are, yeah, and we've said about them, you know, they have potential. They have some great scoring forwards, you know, Reno O'Neill, Mernon, you know, Campbell. These guys are they're top class. Very unlucky in Ulster, you know, but they're back in the mix. You know, again, like we said off air, like with Derry, you wouldn't like to meet Armagh, because I think we've seen them, Liam and myself have seen them a few games, and you know, the one negative I'd have about them is that they didn't attack enough. That they were a bit, you know, too defensive, and even when they were attacking, they were sluggish. They have the players, they have the gears, they have the athleticism. I think that they're, you know, they're going well, and McGeaney will want to make up for not winning silverware in Ulster. Yeah. That's the one black mark in his managerial career. Mm-hmm. He's done fantastic work. He hasn't got that Ulster title.
He's got over the line yet. No.
But that was a fantastic win done by our neighbours across the border the weekend. Like, yeah. And you know, they needed that.
Cork needed that win.
So,
but is it a surprise, Liam? It's not
a surprise, because the way Cork played, you know, for the first 20 minutes, half an hour against us, they gave us enough of it, and they had goal opportunities. The only difference was they took him against Donegal. They didn't take him against us. And you know, and there is a saying, their goals win matches for you, and that's what happened. Yeah. Cork the weekend.
I think the big thing about Cork there was that they got their big lead, it got narrowed down, Donegal kind of got back, but Cork found another gear when they needed to at the very end and go on a minute. And John Terry was talking about that, you know, they need to find consistency, they need to find that level. I was reading a stat, they've only lost one game the last seven.
Yeah.
That's the Kerry.
No, so yeah.
So do you know, like, I mean,
they're not too far away at all. But we've been saying that for years, and that's the one thing we can't understand either. Like, if the years we won the All Ireland Minors, Cork were probably the second best team that we played in them years. So the footballers are there.
Yeah, and Cork were also unlucky in those years, because had they not met Kerry in the semi final, they'd have walked into a final.
Yeah.
They'd have got a second round, but because we're beaten at the semi final level or maybe the first round level, they didn't get a second chance. So in many of those instances, those players didn't get a chance to kind of play later on, and they said, I mean, I remember the night we were blown off in Sack Park and we won after extra time, and there was a few schmodules coming up and down the field, and everything was fairly exciting. Donald, these games are totally meaningless if they don't change. Have two teams being eliminated from the group stages, then the football championship is dying a complete death. We've discussed this a couple of times, you know, it should be two teams coming out of the group, but yet, Liam Brosnan, we still have a situation where we're going to round three, and every game, none of them is a dead rubber, because they all have to stay in it for some reason.
They do, but the only thing about it, if you look at the prelim quarter final, as they call it, you can only pick who's going to win it.
Yeah.
No, there's three or four teams there that are not.
It's very
not
unlikely
to the standard.
That a team will come from a prelim qualifier all the way through to win the All Ireland.
To win the All Ireland, yeah. You know, I agree with your listener. I think two teams out of top, and I also would make it that if you win your group, you get a home quarter final.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good for the community, it'd be good for the town, whoever gets it, you know, it'd be good for the county. Have a carrot there, a home quarter final.
We're looking at some of the attendances. What attendance? There was only 74 people at.
74 people only?
At a Talton Cup game. I'll find that out. There was definitely 74 people at a Talton Cup game, probably paying €15. Tell John Kennedy, or ask John Kennedy, I suppose. This one says tell you, John, but I presume you know. Ask John Kennedy, why were North Kerry defeated in the Under 21 Championship? It was a real shock, and well done to Lone Rangers. And you looking for what? North Kerry five in a row?
It's a good question, Donald. And you know, it is something, it has created a real debate since.
Yeah.
And it's something.
There was shockwaves kind of going through, because.
Well, it's something I've spoken about, and I'd be very passionate about this, is that, you know, you join up all North Kerry, won a county title, well done, great management team under John O'Connell. But how many players are not playing because of it? You know, there was a struggle with Shannon Rangers and Field Rangers. Now, this has turned into a complete 360, because, you know, they played Legion out in SD a few weeks ago. I was speaking to Dermot O'Donoghue, missing so many players. A facile victory, no good for Legion, certainly no good for Narkery, as it turned out. And they went back to Killoglan and got turned over. Shouldn't be happening with the talent they had at their disposal. Shouldn't be happening. And, you know, I think it's their food for thought, because, you know, are you getting the best out of what you are? Do you want to win silverware? That's the first thing. Do you want to win silverware only? Or do you want to promote the game? Do you want to bring the guys that are not good enough and improve them and coach them and train them to get them up to the level required? Or just stick with an elite group and win something? They are the questions that's to be asked. There's no right or wrong answer. But to answer the question, your listener, a real shock, and has really opened the championship.
Well, it just shows what Lone Rangers have done.
I want to say I'm delighted.
Lone Rangers, they're in the county league. They're showing what they've done with the last couple of years at senior level. They have this under 21 team now coming through as well. Now underage, they seem to be strong. So there's
and
hats
been
off
hanging
to
around with minor Division One for absolutely. The last number of years. Yeah. Well, to know,
and South Kerry, look at them. They played a lot of these guys last year in the senior championship. Look at them, they're in the semi-final, and fair play to them, because it's all about using what you have. And I think it's there'll be two really good semi-finals, Liam. There's four good teams in it, very difficult to call it.
So Kerry and Austin Stacks and St Brennan's Board, who I think
will be a dark horse in this competition. Yeah. They have a lot of good footballers.
They'll certainly be flying through as well. And of course, they're playing Lone Rangers, who beat North Kerry, who going on that basis should be the favourite to win it out. But it is interesting, and it is interesting that we're talking about. And of course, those quarterfinals on the 24th of June, Wednesday, 24th of June. A couple of days after leaving Cert, for some couple of people anyway, that's South Kerry. And South Kerry, as you said, the beat East Kerry to beat Crokes. Austin Stacks, they've beaten Rathmore after extra time. And of course, they beat Kilmare District. Kilmare District beat your own gang. Oh, sorry, not Kilmare District, they're Kilmare Shamrocks.
I'm getting
them all up. He lost on penalties.
Lost on penalties as well, yeah. No, so they're into much. It goes down to John's point. It's what you do with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's South Kerry last year played a young senior team. They had their under-20s. They're building, and I think teams and clubs and districts have to understand you just don't concede a game. How many times have we sat here at senior county champ matches and, you know, teams have gone out and just facile games, just getting out of the way? You've got to build, bring fellas along, and South Kerry did that this year, and you can see they're reaping the rewards at that level now.
Mm-hmm. Now, big text in from Eilish in Tralee. Eilish, is your moment. Hi Donal, Kerry had a good win, but they had 15 wides. It was a beautiful day, and they shouldn't have as many wides as that. Jack O'Connor needs to put on a strong team for Louth, as they will be rattling their net for them, and the boys will have to work their socks off. We don't want poor Ger Brennan, friend of mine, winning, as he took out poor Declan O'Sullivan in 2011 in the All-Ireland. He should have got a red card at the time, but Joe McQuillan was the referee. The boys will have to tighten up at the back. Jason Foley, Graham Sullivan, if he's playing, and not let him put in goals. The boys in the centre of the field will have to work a lot harder, not letting them get in control of the ball in the middle of the field. And Gavin White and Tony Brosson had great games. Fair play to Eilish. Well wrapped up, and certainly looks like somebody who watched the game from start to finish. Player of the game, a lot of people complaining about the player of the game. We're not giving out that Tom Sullivan got the player of the game. It's a meaningless enough thing, isn't it, really, you know, when you have people not watching the game in a sense, Liam, just picking who got the highest scores or you know, who caught a couple of balls. But that's what it comes down to lately. I mean, it's not exactly. I mean, we've all been at matches where somebody won player of the game. We'll all say, Jesus, I thought the centre back was better, the full back was better, but they gave it to the guy who scored 8 frees in the corner or something. It's not a real reflection of the way the game is now.
Not really anymore. But and plus, the way football has gone, it's very hard to pick out a player of the game.
Yeah. No players dominated for an hour.
Yeah, before you could go out, you know, and you'd said, Jesus, John Kennedy was outstanding in that game. Now the games have gone over and back the field so many times, and backwards and forwards. You know, it kind of gets, you nearly fall asleep watching it, so you kind of miss half the game. And I think that's what happened the weekend. I think the guys watching it saw the first half and never saw the second half.
Yeah, they watched 20 minutes and they saw all the back scoring. Come here to me, when was the last time you saw John Kennedy outstanding in a field? Measuring something up. Good stuff, John. John Liam, we'll be back after the break. We have a couple more comments, and we will look at Louth game as well. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're here till 8 o'clock. We'll cut across to Andrew Dare just when the game concludes. Kerry 2-0 up the last time we were with him. A couple more text messages in. Hi Dolan, nearly fell asleep watching the first half, but Tim and Ambrose kept me awake, and that's of course Charles. Interesting text here from John in Cora, John Kennedy. Hi Dolan, Retort and Cora are two of the top clubs in Mead and don't have any players on the team. It's something that you'll see time and time again, you know, teams winning championships, teams at the top, but not throwing their lot in with the county.
Yeah, it happens and can happen. And, you know, I'd say, to be fair to Colm O'Rourke, I was following him because of the fact that, you know, he was high profile coming in. I think they scoured the county looking for players. He's a great management team with him. But Meath football has gone down so much, it's going to take a long time to get them back up to the level. If and when they will, like, and I think you can see it in Colm O'Rourke's demeanour, like his body language, it's tough going, and there's no place to hide in days like that, and the level is really up there. They had an indifferent league campaign, and like Liam said earlier on, you know, lacking leaders, lacking that experience, and a lot of young fellas, and hopefully that'll come to fruition for them because they're a very proud county.
Gavin White, great player to carry the ball, and he was the man that passed for the goal yesterday, and that came in on WhatsApp 083 300 3300, and if you want to get involved you can send in a couple of texts on that as well. Right, a couple of comments, strange ones, totally ungame related, totally not talking about the way the football is played, which is great. €100 for an All Ireland ticket, too much. The GAA have upped them by a tin. And it's 110 in Kerry now, because you'll probably have to pay the
tin. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. We were always kind of paying €100 down here anyway.
Yeah. We were well ahead of that. Jay, increasing prices for All Ireland tickets. It hit a bit of a news during the week. Is it a story? Is it much ado about anything?
I think it's much ado about anything. I think they were going to make a story out of it anyway.
Yeah, the price of milk has gone up and everything's gone up. And
exactly, and it's probably the biggest game of the year. I don't know, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket for it, I think you will pay the €100 for it.
Yeah.
No, so
how much? We won't ask John Kennedy because he's not carrying how much money there, but how much, Liam, could you willingly go to pay for an All-Ireland ticket?
Well, if I go to see Chelsea, I'm a Chelsea supporter, if I go to see Chelsea in the morning, I'm paying probably anything between £100 and £120 for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
No, so
that's £140, so, £150.
And we all know fellas who are
sitting in the middle of the field for that now.
No, you're not sitting in the middle of the field. You have different, you know, you have different price sections for different areas, so that's probably the cheapest ticket.
Mm-hmm.
No, so if even like I made the point before, you go into the NEC and you sit down for 2 hours to watch someone in the concert, you might be paying €50 or €60.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to see Taylor Swift, you're going to open, you know, so all these things that I suppose the way money has gone, and everything has just gone mad at the moment. But I don't think an All-Ireland final ticket is too bad at €100.
Yeah, what the listener that rang in about it, okay, giving out that every ticket was the same value. John Kennedy, is there merit?
The point there, Alex,
is
yeah,
there a merit saying that if you're sitting on the 21-meter line,
yep,
you should be paying the same as the guy who's sitting at, looking, and
you're looking at the back of
the round the Devon, or yeah, might be a nice head
somewhere. That's a very valid point, Donald, in fairness, you know, and I think that you know the supporters club and these guys that are season ticket holders, sometimes the tickets they get. No, this is not a reflection on the Kerry County Board. It's the tickets they're given. They're in the corners. They're not in a good position.
Yeah.
These are fellas that are around the country. They're from all, I know I'm out at home in SD. They're on the bus. They're at every game. Wherever it is, they're there. They deserve. But you see, you have that corporate sector now.
Corporate,
you have sponsorship. It's all part of it. These have to be looked after. So these are in the middle, and the rest are pushed out to either side, and that's where they end up. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I think it shouldn't be happening. The genuine supporters should be, if they go to matches, they should be in, not out in the corner.
Yeah.
You go to an NFL.
Yep.
You go to the Super Bowl, you're talking $10,000 and $15,000 to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Just for the biggest game of the year. And this is our biggest game of the year. No, so I think we're getting off light enough at €100 compared to a lot of other sports.
So you're telling Charlie he could add another zero, is it?
I won't be there. I'd be shocking out the gate here now.
You said the biggest problem is getting the ticket, it's rather than what's it going to cost, to be fair.
Getting the ticket is the hardest, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And of course, John Kennedy, it's a very good point, because we will be talking about, if we get to an All Ireland, it's the first thing that's going to come up, all the Kerry GAA supporters who've gone to all the games. 8,000 people at the game yesterday. A lot of Kerry people at it.
A lot of Kerry, big Kerry support. Yeah. But like John said, the fellas in the buses, we've seen them throughout the league as well, up and down the country. And to be fair to the county board, you know, when we get to an All-Ireland final, I've yet to come across anyone who's a genuine supporter not get a ticket.
Yeah.
No, or a genuine club worker not get a ticket.
Yeah. Can I go down the ticket route again? I mean, every club in the whole of Ireland gets a ticket. It's the GAA thing. It's the whole lot. Should the two competing counties just get the tickets?
I think they should.
And then get the majority of them.
I think they should end up in Longford or Louth or wherever.
The miners gone out of it now. Before the miners would get maybe I don't know how many thousand tickets each.
Yeah, but
I'd agree with Liam. I think the Kerry County Board, in fairness, and Peter Twist has been at the helm of that for the last number of years. I haven't come across any supporter that goes to games that hasn't got a ticket for the All Ireland. Now, the quality,
we leave it out of it.
No, yeah. but to be fair to them, I think they look after them very well. There's so much to-ing and fro-ing, second issues coming out and allocations and all that.
Yeah.
But the clubs, I know from our own Secretary Mark Hanlon, he'll send you a text. We got another allocation, we'll draw again.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it might be Friday night before the All Ireland, but you do get the ticket. And fair play to them for that, like.
Absolutely. And many a great day with the ticket as well. Now let's go on Louth next, of course. Liam, we played them last year, blowing Port Leash. That was a bit of a
car crash as well, yeah. But although I think the Louth team this year seemed to be a bit more organised, you know, big defensive structure. That's what they have. And
without Mickey Hart.
Without Mickey Hart. But not only have they defensive structure, they're well able to break and score as well, as we saw against Dublin in the Leinster final. So I think they'll give us a damn good game the next day. I think it'll be our toughest game of the group, to be honest. And it'll probably be above in Port Leash as well. They'll bring a massive crowd because that's what the interest is up there now. They're second in the group. So
well, they have a chance to win the group.
They have a chance to win the group, and go straight into
quarterfinals. Now, the last time we were with Andrew Morrissey, Kerry FC were 2-0 ahead of Treaty. Fingers crossed. Did they make it all the way over the line, Andrew?
Well, I tell you what now, Donal, you join me just at the right time because 90 minutes has just ticked over. We're into injury time now and it's 2-1 because on the 74th minute there was a foul in the box after a free was hit in long, and it looked like Lee Devitt was taken down inside the box. Referee judged it to be a foul and it was a penalty, and it was brilliantly taken by their new man in Enda Curran, who, to be fair, since has come in, has really caused a nuisance of himself. He's been in the headlines, as callers, and I'll come back to him in a minute. But 2-1 at that point. Kerry FC, though, certainly didn't let the guard down at this stage. Treaty were brilliant, to be fair. They'd really come back into the game and it really gave them a big lift. But just a couple of minutes later, in the 78 minute, again, Valeri Dolly, who's been brilliant today for Kerry FC, he had a brilliant shot just outside the box, but it just harmlessly went over the crossbar of Corey Chambers. A couple more chances then, except the cut offside a couple of times. Nathan Gleeson has been a constant torn here, as has McGrath all day as well for Kerry. But then the big moment, I told you the last week here, real Munster derby feel with this, as there was cards going left, right and centre. On the 88th minute, the penalty scorer, Enda Curran, for some unknown reason, looked like he hit Ethan Koss off the ball right in front of the referee, and he had judged it a straight red card. So Treaty down to 10 men as we head into the last few minutes here. The referee has now kind of gone over, I think, to have a word as well with the sideline of on both sides, just to tell him to just calm it down, because things are flaring up a bit here, as I said, in a typical Munster derby. But we're into injury time. Added time has just ticked over here, and it's Kerry FC still with the lead. Hopefully the next time you'll be with me, Donal, we'll have a full time report, and hopefully it'll be good news. But as of right now, we're still playing and Kerry FC have the lead, 2-1, Donal.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Andrew Morrissey. As I said, heading into injury time, 2-1 to Kerry FC, hanging on there against 10 men Limerick, Treaty United, of course. Very quickly, John, the Miners, we have to discuss the Miners. They're in the quarterfinal, they're playing next Saturday evening, of course, above in Cusick Park against Roscommon. Roscommon, of course, who lost the Connacht Championship. Last week we had Longford people on, and they were talking about the delight and the moment and the magic, and they're Leinster champions as well, actually, there. Very good Kerry Minor team, what we saw, particularly playing against the likes of Cork. Are we putting too much pressure on them to say that this is a game they can win?
Well, I think they can, Donal. I think a very good team, very well drilled, very well coached by Wayne Quinlan, his management team. And, you know, they had a big win against Cork, and going with the, rightly so, with the favourites tag against Roscommon. You know, Roscommon, it's going to be a good double bill in Cusick Park. You've Cork and Mayo in the first game, and you've Kerry and Roscommon in the second game. Sometimes going in against the beaten like we are, it can be difficult. We're good enough to beat Roscommon. Roscommon always come up with good minors. Should be a good game, but you'll be fancying Kerry. I think Kerry have a lot of potential. Maybe not too many stars, but a very honest, even team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the best out of them, and they're playing some very good football and attacking minded, which is great to see.
Yeah. Roscommon, Darragh Corran, of course, he's their star, 215 he scored across their five or six games. Kerry ladies, heading off to Ballybofey.
That's right, yeah.
In Harps territory. Thank God, they won't be paying €100 for a ticket to go in there. And that game is on Sunday at a throwing time of 1:05. Do you ever see a game that's 1:05?
Yeah.
So don't be 5 minutes late, whatever chance you have. They won the Munster Championship.
They're moving. They seem to be building nicely. No, not as a dramatic pace. No, I think the Munster final was a huge win against Cork, because the game I saw them out against Brusna that evening. No, there was still questions being asked. You know, of how where Kerry were, but by God, against Cork in the Munster final, they really stepped up in the second half, and you could see they're pushing on, and look, they're coming to a phase now where if they can get up the Croke Park, really. And I think, look, it's not hidden by the management team. They're looking to win the All-Ireland this year, and that was their aim from the start, and everything along the way was going to be a bonus, but they have one aim, and I think that's what they're aiming for.
There'll be a lot more spotlight on them now. I mean, they've been to two All-Ireland finals. People now are saying, yeah, oh, will they get back? Will they win it? The whole lot. Is there more pressure with it this time?
There would be, but they've a squad there. And look, the girls, I think, know that themselves. And, you know, any interviews that I heard the girls talking, you know, they're all, they want to win in All-Ireland. And they're not hiding the fact, you know, because I suppose, look, there's some of them, they're not getting any younger. You know, there's a very good squad there now. And I think that's the word they've been using all year, that they want to build the squad and make it stronger. And I think, looking at Donegal, that beat them in the final, and Dublin beat them in the final, their squads were very strong. You know, coming off the bench was really the thing that pushed them over the line, and we didn't seem to have that. But we do seem to have players now coming off the bench that can push on the ladies. You know, so hopefully, look, if they can get out of Donegal the next day with a win and head on to the next game, and next thing you're in Croke Park, and you never know what can happen then.
At the quarterfinals, you're mad for quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think especially the men's. If we could have fast forwarded to the quarterfinals,
let's go back to you. Fair play. John Kennedy, will Jack go into the match the next day and say, right, this is championship from here on in? I mean, if you think about it, it's the first real knockout game. If we win this, we're in the quarterfinal. If we lose it, we have another game to play. So will we see the real championship team the next day against Louth?
I think he'll be putting out his team the next day, I think, with a view to the quarterfinal. Yeah. That's what I'd be thinking.
But he'll be looking to win, and he'll be looking
absolutely to get into the quarterfinal.
Absolutely, like, and likely, I'd agree with Liam. I think this will be a real test. It'll be the best test we've had since
what's
Cork.
That based on, though? I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I mean, it's Louth drew with Monaghan, we beat Monaghan out the gate. I mean, where's this great Louth team come from all of a sudden?
It's just like Louth playing Dublin. Louth will raise, this is their, it's like Clare in the Munster final, no.
So unlike Mead, they're not going to sit back.
They have something to play for.
And they know that no matter what happens, they're already in a preliminary quarter final, regardless.
Like, if you were Durbin in the dressing rooms, you were saying, lads, we did this to Dublin. Mm-hmm. They're the All-Ireland finalists. Why are we afraid of Kerry, or why are we afraid of anyone? We can go out and we can have our structure, and, you know, we can cause anyone trouble. And I think that's the way that Louth will come down the next day. And last year we were above it. They'll bring huge support. No, so we'll be hoping that the Kerry support will travel as well. No, so it'll be a good outing.
Were you any good at pool, were you?
No.
John Kennedy, were any good at soccer?
It got me out of school a couple of times. All right, no, pool.
Is the Kennedy Cup named after you, is it?
No, it's not. No, no.
Sure, you scored about 600,000 goals for SD one time, did you?
Well, we played for him anyway, Donald, and we had a cut. We had a goal.
You had the whole North Kerry with you for that too, had you?
Oh, we had not. No.
A lot of overage players.
Young age and overage. Well, after a break, we'll be talking to a lot of the Kennedy Cup team. Of course, they're joining us in studio, our own quarter past 7:20. And of course, we will be joined by the Kerry ladies pool team as well, who are the All-Ireland champions, and maybe after a break as well we'll catch up with Andrew Morrissey, and fingers crossed that Kerry FC hung on there 2-1. It would be a fantastic win for them. Lads, we will do it all again in 2 weeks time after the Louth game. Hopefully we'll have that win. We'll be heading to Croke Park, and hopefully we'll talk about real football and good champagne football. We'll go for a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, the last time we were talking to Andrew Morrissey, Kerry FC were weathering a storm. Did they see it through, Andrew?
They did indeed, Donald. It's been good news and a good evening here at Mountauk Park. It finished Kerry FC 2, Treaty United 1. It was, and none more so than they deserved. They were outstanding from the minute the whistle went and the ball was kicked off. It was all Kerry FC for the majority of the game. It started with Sean McGrath. He put Daniel Ricuda through inside the opening minute. That was blocked. The cross eventually out for corner, which went out harmlessly wide after that. But in the fourth minute again, McGrath was involved, jostled for the ball in midfield, put Ryan Kelleher through to Daniel Ricuda, who again, his shot this time though, swung across the far post and went harmlessly wide. But the early pressure Leinster then, they got their just rewards in the 8th minute when a brilliant piece of play again by Sean McGrath, real handful today for Treaty United to try and get to grips with. He put a ball through to Ryan Kelleher and off the outside of his boot he just slotted a lovely pass into the path of Kennedy Amechi, who toe poked the ball home into the Treaty United net. Brilliant piece of play by him. Unfortunately, he picked up a knock in that move, which meant he was then replaced by Darren McCarthy, who I also must say, from the moment he introduced, was also outstanding today for Kerry FC. But at that point, they were 1-0 up. Now, as we went on through the rest of the half, it took up to the 28th minute, Donald, before we saw Treaty really threaten the Kerry FC goal. At this point, they put a ball across. Andy Spain left it through his legs, but eventually it was cleared and dealt with by Sean O'Connell right across the Kerry FC penalty area. 35th minute then, there was a harsh moment, I thought, where Kevin Williams was adjudged to have fouled right on the edge of the penalty area, and it was a free into Treaty, but this ball was swung in and I don't know how it didn't end up in the net. It scrambled across, Tuta couldn't get his hand on it, O'Connell missed the clearance four times and it was eventually pounced on by Tuta, who then won a free out. But the danger was on at this point, and it just got to show that Treaty's quality would eventually come through. To be fair though, the next 10 minutes as we headed in towards half time, brilliant work by Kerry FC. Probably should have had at least two, if not a third goal at this point, where if Ryan Kelleher got the end on the end of a Sean O'Connell free kick, he headed it straight in towards the near post, but brilliantly saved by Corey Chambers in the Treaty United goal. And again a minute later in the 42nd minute, Kevin Williams down the right hand flank sent in a lovely ball in towards Ryan Kelleher, who met with it on the near post, and again it was deflected onto the post by Chambers. This ball trickled all the way across the Treaty line and eventually was cleared for a corner. And it was in the 44th minute then, Sean O'Connell, just before half time, he put a crossing from the left hand side. It was met by a brilliant shot by Valeri Dolly, who had a brilliant game today, but a point blank save again by Chambers in the Treaty goal ended up going out for a corner. And it has to be said at this point, Treaty United's goalkeeper was earning his bobs today because he was outstanding for Treaty in the goal. As we went into the second half then, they'd made a couple of changes on both sides, but Treaty we knew were going to have to come with all they were worth at this point, and that's exactly what they did, because they were putting in ball after ball after ball. But brilliantly defended, it has to be said, by Kerry FC, who again got their just rewards, because in the 54th minute, a lovely low cross from Ronan Tehan found the leg of Evan O'Connor, the Treaty defender, who put the ball into his own net, which meant Kerry were 2-0 up. Treaty at this point had nothing to lose, Donald, so they had to go for it, and that's exactly what they did. Despite pressure by Kelleher, McGrath, McCarthy and Tehan in midfield, Treaty pressed on. They won a free in the 74th minute, which was swung in, and referee adjudged to have seen Lee Devitt fouled in the penalty area for Kerry FC, and he gave the penalty, and up stepped Enda Curran, who'd come on as a substitute, and he absolutely buried it, sending Antonio Tuta the wrong way. Brilliant penalty by him, but he again was in the news himself 10 minutes later, as he was adjudged to have come through the back of Ethan Costa, what looked like an elbow, was right in front of the referee. He turned around and gave him a straight red card, so he went from hero to zero as he got his marching orders. And in fairness to Kerry FC at this point, you've got to think to yourself, will they try and see the game out? They didn't. They tried to push on. They kept going and they kept going, and in fairness they had a couple of more chances, and it was brilliant work again, to be fair, by the likes of Sean McGrath, who had a fabulous game today, but Ronan Tehan in particular, and they did see it out, and a brilliant win here to see them get 3 points on the board in the league table, Donal. It's finished here in Mount Hawk Park, Kerry FC 2 Treaty United 1. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much, Andrew Morrissey. I felt I went through the whole game there. It was so fantastic. But congratulations to the boys. 2-1, a great win. A second back-to-back home win, of course, as well. And we're beginning to gather a bit of momentum. Now, one of the standout team performances of the last week was probably gone a little unnoticed, but the Kingdom are the Ladies All-Ireland Shield Pool Champions. A team, of course, managed by John Lynch, which included Adrian Lynch, Jacqueline Breen, Christina Moynihan and Adele Reen. I'm delighted to say I have three of the girls with me in studio, along with Tom Walsh, of course, the chairperson of the Kerry Pool Association as well. Good evening, girls. Fair play to you.
Good evening.
Congratulations.
Hi, thanks very much.
All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, mighty.
Have you had the bus tour around Guinegula yet?
No, not yet.
No open top in Rathmore?
No, but we're getting there.
And I'm sure you celebrate everything in Kenturk, don't you? Surely get an old segment in the Corkman or something this week, will you?
I don't know.
You will, sure. Come here, Tom Walsh, before we start with the results. Talks about Kerry Pool and the significance of this particular result, particularly in the women's section, because we had the men on before, but now we're All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, it's tremendous, really. I suppose a couple of weeks back we didn't have a team, and Adele and Christina were playing with Dennehy's pool team in the East Kerry League, and Jacqueline and Adrienne Lynch had been playing a bit of pool with on the Irish pool circuit. So John Lynch asked me if the girls would would play, and we got the four girls together, and I think only a couple of weeks ago they learned the rules.
Right, okay.
But great pool players, all of them, and it was our first time putting a team into the All-Irelands for the ladies.
So you're the peacemaker?
Well, I was bringing them all together, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah, many, many times. The Butcher's Galley of Kerry Pool.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, though. I wouldn't go that far, though.
Well, you brought Kenny Good and Rathmore together anyway, so you deserve some credit for that anyway. Yeah. Let's talk about Rathmore and Kenny Good. Dinny Hayes Bar, that's the place for pool in Rathmore, is it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, like with a couple of bars there and stuff like that. I must say, you know, Jacinta Murphy, she sponsored us now with our teachers and stuff now to get into this and stuff. And she was an advocate to get us on the East Kerry League at the time last year.
Before we talk about the All-Ireland and winning it and the whole lot, and winning it in home turf basically in Killarney as well, where did the pool journey start for you? I mean, did you ramble into the pub some night and they said, there's a queue, there's this new playway, and that's how it works? Or
Growing up, I was always playing pool. It was on my mother's side, it was on my father's side. Cousins, we always had a pool table at home. So that's kind of where I started off. But the last couple of months, I suppose, between myself and Christina, it's a rivalry. We go into either the Bridge Bar or Dinhy's Bar, and to be honest, they hate to see us coming.
Right.
So it's great now. So we'll never hear the end of it.
Be a really cool hand.
Yeah.
Come here, Kenny Grilla, home of All-Ireland champions of all sorts, but no
pool. Absolutely.
Yeah. How did it happen for you? How did you get involved the first day?
It, very similar story, I suppose. Growing up, like, we had a pool table at home. You have four brothers.
Oh, right.
So,
like, you had competition already.
Absolutely. Like, it was bred into you, and you started from there. So myself and Adele, always on night out, we were the first up to the pool table.
Yes. So you had social rivalry.
It benefited us.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
So
it came out on top.
Absolutely.
And while they're working on one side of the ditch in East Kerry, you're on the other side of the ditch over in Kenturk. How did you start playing pool?
My brother had been playing for a few years before, and then in the summer last year, I just kind of got interested at home, so I started playing at tournaments then.
Oh, it must be pretty good that you got interested and you got playing tournaments fairly quickly. What's the enjoyable bit for you?
I just enjoy playing it, really.
Yeah. It's a very sociable game to play, but obviously when you get to the stage where you get competitive, every shot counts, everything, you maybe overthink things at a while. Do you put a lot of practice into it, or is it just kind of social all the way through?
It was social all the way through, I suppose, up to the last couple of weeks when we kind of, these were international rules, so they're completely different to what we played with, either at home or out socialising. They're completely different, so I was kind of more focused in learning them and like that. I'm hoping to kind of push them into the bars now if we could, because it's a brilliant game.
You'll have them all playing internationally.
Yeah, it is. In fairness, now I'm really enjoying it at the minute.
God, you'll have some fellow shouting from the back of the bar saying, "You can't do that! You can't do that!"
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah,
that's not allowed. House rules.
It's a bit sticky there, like. But yeah.
Come here, Tom. There's a lot about women's sport at the moment and the development in across all the things. I mean, this is a huge story. That's kind of, I suppose, it's being told and it's on Facebook and it's a whole lot. But the significance of it, I think, is quite important. That, you know, you. Without too much trouble, put a team together and you're the All-Ireland champions 2 or 3 weeks later. I mean, obviously things happen by accident or design, but I mean, the ability for growth in the sport here must be massive.
It's huge, the potential is huge, you know, and we're very lucky, I suppose, that we have a good, well-established committee, you know, between like, you have Mike Moriarty is the secretary in Brasna, Tim Winters. And then there's a good hub in Brasna. There's a very good hub of pool as well in Killarney. And without, you know, those two locations, really, we would struggle. You know, Derry and Connie O'Sullivan, the Q Club, have been fantastic advocates as well for us. But, you know, the journey that these girls have taken the last couple of weeks is nothing short of remarkable when you think about where they came from. You know, playing casually in the local bar, and then the girls came on the Dennehy's pool team for the East Kerry League, and you know, that was a chance for them to get into kind of competitive situations, and they learned an awful lot in the last 12 months and that. And then with John Lynch and Adrienne, they formed a fantastic team, and they took on the best women in Ireland in the INEC, and the cup competition proved a bit strong, I suppose, for them. So when they were knocked out of the cup, they went into a Shield competition, and they just took each game as it came. And a fantastic win over Westmead, I think, in the Westmead B team, say, in the first game, followed by a win over Clare in the semi-final. And, like, you know, the excitement was growing all the time. And then to play Westmead A team in the final, and some of their players are Irish international players, and, like, to see the resolve that these girls had, and the way they finished the games, and to come out 5-3 winners, like, was just remarkable, you know.
Yeah.
And all of the guys, all the men's players in Kerry were really very supportive, giving them great advice. And I must say that the girls have really taken to it very well. And so the potential is huge for it. We're hoping we'll be able to put in maybe a couple of teams next year, maybe get some underage teams as well, under 18, maybe under 23. It really is an exciting time to be involved with Kerry Pool.
Of course, Kenny will have their own team now next year. They won't be in the Kerry at all. You'll be on your own, will you?
Absolutely.
We'll have to watch out for any breakaway organisations. Yeah.
Breakaway themselves. Come here, Adele, talk to us about the finals. Obviously, people know how pool is played, but how is the structure of pool played in a competitive world?
I suppose when it came down, it was like my first time I was playing in the Friday evening, and we were in the cup, and it came down to the deciding frame, which I had to play in, like. And like that, it was a black ball and things like that, and it just didn't go our way and stuff, like. And then, you know, I'd say with that loss, I felt like, geez, I don't want to lose again, like, do you know what I mean? So every game after that was, you know, you were watching other players and you were trying to improve or learn more on the shot and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, the competitiveness and everything there was, it was unreal. It was a high standard, but just to come out on top then was massive altogether.
And is it tough then, Christina, looking at your teammate playing that shot and, you know, oh God, you know, I wish it was me doing it for her or whatever it is, or you're saying, oh God, she missed it again, or are you saying, oh, that was an awful hard shot anyway? What were the emotions of the team on the sideline for all the world?
They were, like, inexplainable, in the sense where the nerves, and I suppose you watch your teammate play, and like it's very easy to sit on the sideline and say, oh, you should have taken this shot, but like when you're in that momentum, it's very hard to control the nerves and take the right shot at the same time. And again, you're under time pressure, so you fart 5 seconds a shot.
Or take a shot, yeah.
So it's not like you can walk around the table and depict it from every angle, because you can't. So, and again, we were only after in the rules like 2 or 3 weeks previous to it. So there was a lot to consider, but again, considering all aspects, we came out on top.
Yeah,
sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds
actually amazing.
Yeah, it sounds, Tom, like they want to go back and play the final again this week, because they'll be ready for it now this week. They know the lot.
We need to tie them down with rope at the moment, because what the enthusiasm that they've shown for it, like, has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they really gel together very quickly as a team. But I think that all the other ladies that were in the other counties, they were so supportive.
Absolutely.
I think they came up on a number of occasions and they congratulated the Kerry group and the Kerry girls for putting a team in, because you know, there hadn't been a team from Kerry before. And you know, we're lucky, I suppose, in that the All-Ireland finals are held in the INEC.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic location, fantastic venue. Great credit to Patrick O'Donoghue and his family for the way they managed that. But you have 52 tables and they're all going, and you have two teams at every table, and the atmosphere is just electric. And you need a lot of bottle, you know, as well. So, like, the girls were able to manage their nerves, manage the expectations, and take the right shots. And, you know, their selection was very good. And it was really a team effort. And to come out on top was just...
It's a remarkable story. Where to next, Adele? What's the next part of the chapter?
Next chapter is, hopefully I'd like to be there again next year.
Yeah, that's you're nailing that down straight here.
Definitely nailing that down again next year. I want to be there again next year.
Yeah.
And like I said, it'd be great if we get another one or two teams in again, you know, with us. But we're aiming for the cup next year.
And that black ball will go in.
And it will. I'm not messy at this time. No.
We're not. You need to come up the next time and take it for you. No shot. Tom, is there a few quick thank yous maybe?
You know, as Adele said, you know, Jacinta Murphy was a great help to us locally. She's running Denny's Bar, and she was able to sponsor some of the tops for the girls. We also have a sponsor in the Kingdom Clinic in Killarney, and we thank them. If for anyone out there that wants to join the Pool Association, follow Kerry Pool Association on Facebook. We're having an AGM on Wednesday the 12th in Ulix or Sherwoods in Farn 4, mm-hmm. and everybody's welcome. So we're always looking for new members, and like as I said, Derry and Connie O'Sullivan in the Q Club, great praise for them because they allow us to use their facilities, and also for the North Kerry Pool group who have the pool hall in Brosna. Without those two venues, really, we'd find it very difficult to manage, you know. And it's not that, you know, some of the pub tables are excellent and some of them are not, maybe. So, like, we need to be playing on the best tables because mm-hmm. the tables you're playing on in the All-Irelands are super fine cloths and they're very fast. And if you only look at the white ball, it'll find a white, you know, it'll find a pocket, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, look, great congratulations to John Lynch, who managed the team. Adrienne, who's not here, probably the most experienced player. But, like, for Jacqueline, Adele and Christina, first time, a great experience altogether, and it's something that they'll never ever forget for the rest of their lives, you know. But we're very proud of them, you know, for what they've done.
Absolutely. And it's only the step along the way.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
5 years time, yeah. Back here, they've won five in a row and they'll be competing in the Europeans or something
and
like
the
that.
Cup next year.
They'll have the cup next year.
Yeah,
do you know who cup now? Or
both.
Both, yeah. Okay. You'll come back with that next year.
Our A team and the men's side, they won the All-Ireland Shield as well. But they had won that competition previously, so it really just shows the significance of the win by the girls.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, big congratulations to them as well. But as I said, this is the big story this evening.
Listen,
girls, very best of luck. Thanks
Before
very
we finish,
much.
Do you mind if I just say hi to my two small lads at home,
100%.
Ross and Clara? I just want to say hi.
Where do they go to school? Do they go to school?
They're at Holy Family National School in Retmore.
Oh my God, I got two plugs in.
Yeah.
Have you a quick plug for me?
I've one.
Go on.
Yeah, he's in Holy Family as well. SJ.
Any across the board in Kenturk? We have a few listeners in Kenturk.
No.
Next time around, we'll talk to them. Listen, thanks very much. After the break, we'll talk Candy Cup.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the 2024 Candy Cup will be played in UL, of course, from next Monday, the 10th of June, to the 17th of June, of course. And just like last week, where we met the Gaynor Cup squad, who actually kicked off their campaign this evening, and big congratulations to them because they actually won their opener 2-1 today, this evening, against Inish Owen. We decided to give the Candy Cup class of 2024 ahead of their campaign a big shout out as well. And of course, Kerry have been drawn in Group 8 along with Tipperary South and Waterford, and delighted to be joined by a member of the management, Donal McGrath. Donal, of course, from Bantry. We had a person from Kenturk on earlier. Yeah. Are you all moving down to Kerry?
Well, sure, with the quality and talent that's available to us, you know, you can't blame a few for sneaking over the border.
Fair play. And of course, you're only barely over the border. Bantry isn't a million miles away. Come here, the Candy Cup squad, it's a difficult pick every year. I mean, obviously, it's getting more difficult. There's more and more teams, more and more players, compared to maybe 20 years ago where people went to trials maybe in the whole last year. You're kind of scouting players now. How difficult is it, Donal, to put all the blocks in the one piece and the right piece maybe to fix the jigsaw ahead of a big championship like this?
Yeah, as you say, it's definitely becoming more and more challenging, and I suppose that's one of the things that comes with the territory, so to speak. So I suppose it's a case of just managing the expectations for the player and for the parents. I suppose you have to set your stall out and you have to try and be as consistent in your messaging as possible. The approach that we took, I think we might have taken an unusual approach. We wanted to cast the net as wide as possible. So at the start of the under 13 season, we had a comprehensive set of trials and we selected 33 players last year for the Interleague. But we made sure that we had as many development games and challenge games as possible. So we were able to see within that group of 33, and it came from a very, very widespread across the clubs in the Kerry School Boys and School Girls League, we got a good opportunity to see players who were at various stages of development. Definitely, we found this year as well, not only were we looking at having our squad reduced, so we would have come down from 33 to 25 at the start of this season. And look, Kennedy Cup isn't the final destination for players because you're looking at continuing development, but it was in the back of our mind for sure. And again, this year, not only were we looking to finalise our numbers, but we wanted to make sure as well that we had a kind of variation in terms of how we were approaching. So we were looking at players that were adaptable in positions, players that could take on different pieces of information, really, guys that we could work with on the training pitch and then when they go out into the game and when they're faced with the different scenarios, that they know what they're doing in their individual positions as part of their unit and then as part of the team. So it without doubt, you have to respect every player that comes to try out. You have to respect every player that is part of an interleague squad. We couldn't have got to where we are at the moment without having the numbers, because we made sure our training sessions then were very well attended, very competitive. And I think it's a good place to start, actually. I think everyone would agree that there are some guys who haven't made this selection, and of course that's going to be a disappointment, but we would all feel that they played a very valuable contribution to the development of this particular age group in the Kerry school.
And like you said, look, it's one step along the journey. The journey's a long journey. Funny enough, in 2015, of course, when Kerry won it, Cork, because you're a Corkman now, I'll tell you the Cork story. Cork won the Shield that year. They won 4-0. Adam Ida scored two of the goals in the Shield, and he scored for Celtic the last day, and that's not a long time ago.
For sure.
Now, another link back to that, of course, Paul Shea played in that team, of course, in 2015. The winning goal was scored by Glenn Fliss, kind of Master Gaeha for the Dylan Murphy. But you're the captain, are you? And Master Gaeha.
Yeah.
Good God. It feels like you were sitting in that chair a couple of weeks ago with St. Brendan's. Now you're wearing a soccer cap. Come here. Soccer, football, basketball, everything kind of goes. But now you're at the elite level of Kerry School boys and girls heading into the Kennedy Cup. How excited are you to lead this bunch of kids?
I mean, it's very exciting, and it's a great honour to be, first of all, captain and going to such a big tournament in the country. I suppose in Kerry, football would be probably known as the main sport, but of course every other sport has been very talented in the last years. So everything going well in training anyway.
And of course, talking to Derek Keane, of course, the captain, it seems to be that the people that play as many sports as you can, you know, you get to kind of an elite level in a sense. And we're using the word elite in inverted commas because obviously, as you said, there's a lot more playing it than the whole lot. But it's a tournament. You're heading into it. It's a national tournament. When you see the draw being made, Darren, all of a sudden now it gets real, and next Monday night is your first game, or Monday morning, 10 o'clock, whatever it is, and you're playing, I don't know, Tipperary or Waterford or whoever it is. Does it become a little bit more daunting then? Do you kind of realise, oh, the training block is finished now, and all the chats and all the nutrition talks are finished, now it's time to play?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a loads of preparation for this. We had a talk last week there with Dan Horan. He is in the FAI, and he gave us good information of how it's going to go. Yeah, I mean, we're all looking forward to it now, and sure, when the draw was made, we kind of knew it was getting down to game time. So yeah.
So it's now just bring the boots, bring the socks, bring the shin guards, and off you go.
Yeah.
Mom will pack the sandwich, and hopefully all the canes will turn up. Lachlan Scanlon.
Yeah.
Good evening. Clarny Celtic.
Uh-huh.
But you're really a cultured, are you? Where do you live?
Listroy.
Listroy. My God. How do you find your way into soccer?
Well,
you were playing it forever against the school wall or whatever it was, and the next thing you said,
yeah,
Mom will drop me down to a football club, is it?
Yeah. I would all be playing outside with my brothers at home, and then eventually we decided we'd go to a club, and we went into Celtic.
Celtic's a fine club, I mean, inside in town, Clarny Town, of course, Athletic as well, the Blue Gang, we talked to him now in a second as well. But how at home are you in Celtic?
How do you mean?
How are you enjoying it? Is it a nice place, the club, to play for? Is there good coaches? Do they all look after you?
Yeah, like, you get play up a couple ages, and sure, my brothers would be in there playing, so then you'd be looking at all the ages and you get to know all the fellas around the club.
And how many brothers have you?
Three of them.
Are they ahead of you? Are they older?
They're all younger.
Oh, they're all younger. Oh my God, so you're leading the way in the family, are you?
Uh-huh.
My God, so what's it like to go out and beat your small brother in the backfield?
I have to make sure there's nothing new that he's doing anyway that I haven't done.
Oh my God, so you're watching him from behind coming up. Come here, Adrian O'Connor, you're very welcome. You're only down the road, of course, aren't you? St. Brendan's Park, home of loads of good soccer players.
Yeah.
What's it like being part of the Kennedy Cup squad?
Sure, it's a great honour, like, representing the county.
Yeah.
Such a big tournament.
Did you get a phone call, did your mum get a phone call, or did you kind of half know who's been picked, or...?
We got a text, like, and...
Okay. Was there excitement, or was there kind of like...
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Your mum wasn't running around next door texting everybody else saying, no, he's in. No, she wasn't. Is that dad's job, no?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, good stuff. What's it like you're from the club now, of course, St. Brendan's Park. You're probably playing against these fellas week in, week out, and all of a sudden you have to put on the same jersey and, I suppose, you know, pass the ball to them or defend for them or put your head in where you probably wouldn't do it if you were playing against them. What's it like to kind of put on the Kerry jersey?
Sure, we're all playing against each other. Like, we all know how people play and what they do, what they prefer. So it's nice, like, to get to know the lads as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you head into the dressing room now, I mean, you have the choice sitting between a couple of Park players or head over to the Massagia crowd. Do you all kind of mix up that way, or are you still kind of in your own corner?
No, we all mix up, really. Like, we're all one team at the end of the day.
Yeah. Are loads of Listroy people heading to Limerick?
No, just me.
Oh my God, you're making it very sad in me, aren't you? Surely the brothers are coming, are they?
Oh, my mother and my dad will be.
Ah, sure, there's three of you now, sure. That's loads of it.
Yeah.
Dara, how important is this, I suppose, maybe to see a lot of support on the sideline? I know Limerick's a small bit of a gallop up the country, but I mean, a lot of people will sit in the car and have a watch of the games. How important is it, the first game going out, that you'll have a few more extra people roaring for you?
It'd be important. Because I suppose the pitch is there, we're not really used to, and the other team could bring a lot of supporters as well, because they might be closer to you. So whoever would like to come away, I'm not going to say no to you yet.
Absolutely, should be all roaring abuse at referees and stuff like that, is it? There's no abuse at referees. Come here, Donal, will you do me a quick favour? Will you pick three more and we'll send these out? What other three have we outside there now? We have loads of them, have we?
Yeah, I can see closer to the door. We've got Tig Dalton, Denny Lane and Ryan O'Flaherty. So.
Come on, we in, lads, and we'll take a quick break.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, Donal.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, Owen Barry here until 8 o'clock this evening, and we're in the company of the Kennedy Cup squad. We're going through as many of them as we can, and we'll talk to them all, because it's a nice part of the show. And of course, I'm in the company of Donal McGrath as well, overseeing everything. Of course, now we've been joined by Ryan O'Flaherty, Danny Lane and Tig Dalton. Tig, who's dropped a bombshell, he's from Ballydunho.
Yeah.
My God, we could talk football for the next half hour and waste the whole time.
Yeah,
that'd be great. But we'll talk Kennedy Cup. Tig, what's your club?
I play at St. Brendan Park.
Yeah. The season was going grand until?
Until I tore my ACL in an interleague game against Cork.
Yeah. That was disappointing, I'd say, was it?
Yeah, very disappointing, but look, I put it behind me now and I'm 4 months into my rehab.
Yeah.
And I'm going well with it, so yeah.
Brilliant. And you're going along with the boys, so you'll be part of the team, the squad, and nearly an extra selector and everything.
Yeah, I can't wait to be up there to support them. They've supported me through my injury.
Yeah.
I can't wait to support them above Limerick.
I'd say North Kerry people are good to support, to be fair, I'd say.
Yeah.
Shouting like the rest of them. I know it's kind of sad not to be going, but I mean, you're still going in the thing. You're going to experience the whole lot, and you're going to see it probably from a different view as well, because you're not on the field, but you're going to get a chance to see all the work that happens in the background as well, I'd imagine.
Exactly, yeah. We've prepared extremely well. Like, our great coaches, we're an incredible bunch of lads, like, together. So I'm excited to go up and support them, and hopefully we can end up winning something up there, yeah.
You'll be shouting to your Denny Lane anyway to pass the ball or maybe score a few, will it?
Yeah, hopefully now.
Yeah. What club are you, Denny?
Tralee Dynamos.
Yeah. When you got the news that you got picked for the Kennedy Cup, how was it like in the family?
Like, it was a good celebration. I was delighted myself, and the family was delighted as well.
Fair play. And of course you're Austin Sex, man.
Yeah.
But your soccer team in Tralee, you know, it's well known, Dynamos, it's got a huge name, huge tradition, huge history. How important is it for you as a Dynamos player to be involved in the Kennedy Cup?
Like, very important for the club, like, to represent the club. It's very
there's a great tradition there, yeah. There's a great history there as well, and you're following on that. Where do you play in the field?
Striker.
Okay. Oh my God, okay. Confident striker?
Yeah.
You like to put the ones in from the 2 yards, or do you like something fancier?
Something fancier, I suppose.
All right, okay. Well, just knock them all in anyway. It doesn't matter which way they go. Ryan O'Flaherty, what club are you?
Park.
Oh my God. So you're kind of Celtic and Rangers, kind of, with your man next door, are you?
Yeah,
absolutely. You've been to Celtic, is it, or is he the Celtic?
Celtic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's the Celtic. Oh my God. come here. When you got the news, Ryan, that you were picked on the squad, particularly after all the training and the trials and the whole lot, is there a huge sense of achievement?
Yeah, I went to the trial the year before and I was very disappointed that I didn't make it, but I didn't let that stop me and I bounced back, and I was very happy that I made it the next year.
Wow.
And my family's very happy as well.
That's an interesting story. What was it like when you got the kind of, you're so close last year, but you're not. How was that like when you went home in the car? Did you?
Yeah, I was devastating. Like, I was just very sad.
Particularly when your kind of pals or friends are kind of moving on, and that's probably making it worse. So you were kind of far more determined to get back to it this year?
Yeah.
Did you have to train harder? Did you just, you know, apply a bit more? Or
yeah,
was it
apply
just
a bit more. Like, just worked on it a few more things. Like.
Brilliant. And where do you play in the field?
Centre-back.
Okay. All right, okay. Centre-backs are tough, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's a story for you. Nathan Collins, you know him as centre-back for Brentford? Well, in 2015, he played against Kerry and they lost.
Yeah,
and of course Jason Knight was playing as well, and Kerry beat them. So I mean, you know, a lot of great players come through from centre back as well. That's the other thing, Donal. Of course, the amount of talented players that are playing the game at the moment that will become somebody along the way, that will be a name in a couple of years' time, that will be possibly playing League of Ireland. Kerry FC played this evening 2-1, great win for them as well. And there's an under 17 coming as well, and the whole lot. How important is it for them to know that there's a pathway after Kennedy Cup into possibly League of Ireland, maybe into Stockport or somewhere like that? Or, you know, some people are even going to America to play soccer.
Yeah, for sure. There's even if it's not even on the playing pitch, there's so many opportunities now in terms of scholarships, like you said, to the States, into third level. I think most of the third level colleges at this stage have some form of scholarship. We see people who are going into sports science, physiotherapy, but as you said, the pathway is very, very clear in terms of where you've got a growth now in terms of the development of players. It was very interesting to hear Damien Duff talking about on a national level, we shouldn't really fret too much about selecting a manager because we really have to focus on
getting the player.
And I think, just, you know, my personal opinion would be we've probably got a we've got to come from a little bit behind in that section as well. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that the level of talent that does exist, and I think there's a balance then, because all of these players and through the squad, as you can, you know, even with the chat that you're having there, they're multi-sport players. There's a real tradition and history. This is a special county. We're looking to tap into that when we go to Kennedy Cup. And again, Dara in the previous section did reference that we had Dr. Dan Horan, who has worked with Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane as a physiotherapist, and we really did focus on that idea of, firstly, before you're anything, you have to be someone. So that's within the group, you know, that we're not, again, we're really interested in the people as well as the players, and we want to make sure that whatever talents they have, that we have a good, strong environment for them to fulfil those talents. So yeah, we would hope that players will go into League of Ireland, players could make a living as a professional, but that also, if their destiny is to be at the Aviva Stadium or to be in Croke Park or to be a good club man, mm-hmm. and to be someone who's coming back and coaching, I mean, I know it's a cliche, but very often we think about making it, and loads of people will have a really good relationship with sport throughout their lives. They'll stay active and fit and healthy, they'll build relationships, there'll be teamwork and camaraderie. And again, when we spoke about it on Thursday night and we talked about what success criteria would be, really, we're going to look at how well these guys remember their experience, mm-hmm. and in 5, 10, and you're calling out the players as well. But I mean, as long as these guys can meet up in 10 years' time and say, we had a fantastic week, we're a good bunch of lads, the experience was what it is. And as I said, all those other things in terms of, there is such a great level of talent that those talented players will find the path to fulfilment in terms of their sporting careers. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Hopefully, Tighe will be saying, do you remember the year that Denny Lane knocked a ball in from 2 yards in the Kennedy Cup? Absolutely. And he was 2 yards offside as well. I'm going to make it a proper good story. But of course, they're the funny bits of it as well. How important is the fun bit, Denny, to it?
Like, you have to enjoy it or you won't play well, like, in the end. And you have to have crack with your friends and all that. Like, it's all, like, you have to enjoy it at the most, and then you go on the pitch and give it your all, and then after, have fun.
Are you the kind of player now, Denny, if you lose 1-0, can you kind of walk off the field and say, "Here, look, I've done my best and that's it"? Or are you one of those kind of, as I go home, kind of think about it all night and say, God?
I'd be thinking about it all night and all the next day. And
oh my God, the next day as well, is it? My God, I'm waiting. Okay, what about yourself? Can you leave it behind on the pitch? Or
No,
oh my God. Well, of course, it took you a year to get back, which shows you that you've got great kind of staying power and going power and the whole lot. When you made it back and when you got the phone call and said, listen, you're in this year, I mean, what did that mean to you? I mean, obviously it's a great sense of achievement, but do you kind of go out the backyard and say, yes?
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
God almighty. You're very quiet centre back, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Again, maybe it's something that we would take on board, because again, as coaches, we're always learning as well. Yeah. And it's something for sure. We're seeing it now, where guys are starting to improve their communication.
Yeah.
And even what you're saying there about, you know, when we're thinking about coping with disappointment, whether it's results or whether it's not making a selection or things like that, it's in those moments. I mean, I think if you break down any time when you improve as a sports player, you know, if you got roasted by a winger as a defender, you make sure that in 2 or 3 months' time, when you're playing the return leg, that you've remembered what he's doing and that you've built something on from there. And it's that same thing. So that level, and you know, as well as Ryan, Danny is another guy. Danny came in and trialled at the start of this season as well, and he absolutely grabbed his opportunity. The coaching team, remember when we were watching it, we were saying to ourselves, you know, there's this guy, he wants to get on the ball, he wants to score goals. And that's another big element of what we're saying. Yeah, we want to have fun, but the joy in the sport is scoring goals and winning games and things like that. So we absolutely want to give a good account of ourselves, and we come back to it again. These are talented boys. We've worked very hard, and we want to make sure that we've got an environment in which these guys can perform the way that they want to perform and show how good they are.
Absolutely. So Denny Garnacho, huh? Tearing down the wings, your long head. Come here, Denny Garnacho. Will you pick 3 boys to come in now next? Or is there any 3 boys? Bring them all in, actually. Whatever's left can come in, and we'll talk to them after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
And you're very welcome back, of course, and I have the rest of the Kennedy Cup team with me as well. And of course, we have Donal McGrath as well. And we'll leave Donal out now for a while, because we'll fly around and chat to a few more of them. Conor O'Sullivan, Fianna Sapphires.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
How exciting is it for you and your club to be involved in the Kennedy Cup?
Very exciting, yeah. It was an honour to be on this team, like.
Oh, you got the honour, my God. Yeah. Who got the word first? Was it you or Mum?
Mum.
Oh, Mum. All the Mums seem to get the word first. Did she tell you, or did she tell everybody else in Fianna first and you found out on Snapchat or something?
No, mother, yeah.
Absolutely. Where do you play in the field?
Left back.
Okay, good stuff. Have you trained hard, have you?
Yeah.
You've done a lot of training and done a lot of touring around the country. Thomas Keane, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Another small club, is it, LB?
Yeah.
Tell the listeners where that club is.
Ballyduff.
Absolutely. Right, two out that direction too, somewhere, is it?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy your soccer out there?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Of course, you probably have a hurley in the back of the car too, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Never leave home without a hurley. How excited are you to be involved with all this gang?
I'm very excited. Yeah. It's a great opportunity.
Fantastic. And what's it like going to training now, and, you know, you kind of leave your club behind and you head off to Kerry training for the night? Is it a small bit harder? Is it a bit difficult? Or a bit different even, maybe?
It's more of a difficult, but you enjoy it.
Brilliant. And what's the best part of it?
Suppose just meeting the friends and
good stuff. Laying out Tig Dalton in a tackle or something. Yeah. Fellow North Kerry man. You leave him alone, do you?
Yeah.
Well, he's injured at the moment and shouldn't be fair tackling at the moment. Also Liam Minehan.
Yep.
Master Geeha.
Yeah.
Fair play to you.
Cheers.
Just down the road. Well, down the road from me at home, obviously, but not down the road from here. How excited are you to be involved?
Oh yeah, it's great. It's a great opportunity, and I suppose I can't wait for it. Like,
yeah, and of course you have a couple of more Master Geeha in with you. You have one anyway.
Yeah.
You mind him on the field, will you?
I suppose so. Yeah.
Yeah. He needs a bit of minding, to be fair, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is he a good man to pass the ball?
I suppose whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, he's a bit like that, isn't he? Really? Yeah. What position do you play?
I'm a goalkeeper.
Oh, good stuff. Well, hopefully he won't be passing it back to you anyway.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Is it harder to play in goal than maybe out the fields like all the other boys?
I suppose you get used to it. I wouldn't be great out field now, so I suppose I'd be decent in goal. So.
Yeah. But of course, the goalkeeper is a technical position as well. I mean, obviously you have to cover your corners and you have to cover all the ball coming fairly back quickly. And of course, the kickouts are a big part of that strategy too.
Yeah.
Would you do a lot of training different to the boys now when you go? Would you have a goalkeeping kind of coach and off you go? And
Andrew, he's great now. He's given me a great opportunity and he's great.
Fantastic. Mum was delighted, was she?
Oh, yeah.
She told all her car cousins, of course, did she?
I suppose so. Oh, yeah. No, that's not my mother.
Oh, that's your mother. Okay, got away. Whose mother is from Cork?
Ryan.
Oh, my God. And what's your name?
Adam Moylan.
Oh, my God. Another fair play. Where do you play?
Centre back.
Okay. Oh God, you keep the quiet men happy, do you?
Yeah.
You can do all the headers.
Yeah.
What's it like when you got the call that you finally made it after all the training, after all the, I suppose, the trials and the whole lot, and you finally get there and you're on the bus and you're going to Limerick?
Yeah, I was delighted. Great achievement to be on this team.
Yeah.
And when you see yourself getting on the team, and then obviously Donal referenced earlier that a lot of boys didn't make it and the whole lot, I mean, obviously there's probably some friends or pals not on the team as well. That's kind of difficult at times, is it?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, but you're there anyway, that's the most important thing. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
What have you heard about it? What stories have you heard?
It's meant to be unbelievable.
Oh my God, fair play. Well, hopefully that'll have to live it out. Alex Nasser, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Evera United.
I am.
Save the best for last.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people where Evera is.
Down in South Kerry.
Oh, good man, you're going all the right words. Go on, tell them what town's near now, because the South Kerry.
Carstavine. Exactly. I'm from Carstavine, and there's like Watford, yes. Valentia Island.
Good man.
Caher Daniel.
That's
and
it. Dernan, Skelligs, Derrynan. Oh, that's miles away. Yeah, yeah.
Port McGee, that's more of a village.
Yes.
And. So Renard.
Fair play. Oh, don't forget the Renard crowd.
Well,
yeah. Tea and playing tonight, Drummond. Of course. Working on Drummond. Yeah, well, you know, that's.
You don't like them.
Turf out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't venture out to Drummond too often, would you?
No, not really.
No, unless it's a football
match.
For matches. Good stuff. Come here. How did you get involved in soccer?
I was always into soccer, like, yeah. And other sports, GA, basketball, and other sports like that.
Yeah. And when you got the news that you were picked, what did Mr. Coffey say to you behind?
Coffey?
Yeah, Sean Coffey. Is he stuck with you?
Oh, yeah. No, I think he hasn't been there for a while now.
Oh, my God almighty. He got the role. Okay.
No.
but it's a proud moment for the club, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, we have a few people that did Kennedy Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Alex Kelly?
Yes, absolutely.
And Ronan Tehan.
Very quiet fellas, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. And my mother knew before me, and I was told on the phone.
Right.
So I'm delighted, and it's going to be a great experience.
Absolutely.
Memories.
And of course, it's further for you to travel, because you're travelling all the way from Carstavine up to Limerick, so yeah. You start behind. God almighty, is there any sport you don't do, Mr. Vickers, is there?
Rowing.
Rowing.
Rowing, yeah.
I'd say you'd be a great rower as well, I'd say, if you put your mind to it. What's it like playing the soccer?
It's good, yeah. It was about, I'd say, 2 years ago, I started playing well, and
yeah.
It kind of just clicked from there. I went from being a left back for Ballyhard to then playing left wing for Kerry within a season, like, so.
Yeah. Of course, you're Alan Finn's gang, aren't you?
Yeah, Alan would, he's...
He's loud, isn't he? You can say that. I know Alan Finn. He's quite loud on the sideline. He wouldn't mind that.
Sure. Yeah. Alan, he wins us a few frees anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be sure of it. Yeah, sure, he was walking around fires last night with his Galway jersey on and everything. Come here, Ryan. You've been in kind of so many kind of groups. You're an elite athlete, to be fair. You're quite good at the old football as well. But what's it like being in this kind of elite circle, the Kerry schoolboys?
Well, soccer is an important one, like, because it's obviously not considered number one sport in Kerry, but like the atmosphere around the place, like all the lads are all into it, like it's 100% from everybody. And we've Donal from Cork,
yeah.
Who would probably be better at soccer than Kerry would be. We've Aidan and we've Andrew, who all just give 100% every week, like, so.
Yeah, you're really looking forward to it, are you?
Yeah, it'll be a good week, like, yeah. I'm used to the athletics where it's individual, like, but now I have a whole 19 other lads around me for a week, like,
yeah.
So.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because obviously athletics is kind of a singular enough sport that you can run your race and you run your lap time and you're against the clock or whatever you are. But now you're in a team sport and you have Mr. Nasser here beside you, who might pass you or might not pass you or whatever. Yeah. What's it like depending on team?
Well, it's, I suppose, when you're on the track, it's you against
yourself,
seven
basically.
Other lads, like, so. But when you're on a team, it's 11 people who all want the same thing and to win, and you basically just give 100% in every tackle, every shot, and it's good, like, it's...
Yeah. Edamine and Clarny Athletic, delighted for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a strong club, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have a lot of us on the team with you, have you?
Yeah, Jaden Hurley and Owen Bennett.
Oh, very good. So then coming on, Jane's a fantastic footballer actually as well, from the Mon in Clarny. Of course, we want to give them their moment as well. Thomas Keane, what do you hope to achieve?
I suppose score a few goals.
A few goals, fair play to you. Not one, two, three, what's a few? What's a few of these days?
Three or four.
Yeah, three is good. One a game maybe. Fair play. Donal, very quickly, we're down to injury time. A group of three, I noticed this evening, but it's a group of four.
Yep.
Is that kind of more difficult? I mean, that you don't get an extra game to get into your stride, or, you know, does it really matter at the end of the day? It just happens to be the way it is.
You know, I know it's a cliche, and you hear sports psychologists saying it.
Don't say game after a game.
No, it's the one where they say it is what it is. So
right, okay.
We have no control over that. So
yeah.
we're going in. We're playing two games on Tuesday, as opposed to a game on Monday, and then two our opponents play on Monday evening, and then play us on Tuesday. both of the opponents. But, I mean, we have that opportunity where we'll get in on Monday evening, we'll have a look at both teams, we'll get our own nerves settled and everything like that. And I think you hear it within this group here. We're raring to go. Mm-hmm. So there's another real good element of we've got good quality, we've got strength and depth, we've got players who can, as I said, can slot into a number of different positions. And again, we're looking at that three-team group to say that the tightness of the group is going to work to our advantage as well. I mean, it is one of those ones where it's there for a team to seize it, take control of it, and we're very, very confident in our abilities. Now, look, every other team is out there to win it as well, and I keep coming back to it again. All we want to do is give us a good account of ourselves as possible. It's fantastic to hear that news coming from you, Ella, about the Gaynor girls, and that little bit of momentum that you get from hitting the ground running, that's a really, that can be very, very beneficial. So we'll be hoping for the same thing on Tuesday morning.
Mr. Nestor, who's going to be the first person to score a goal next day?
Oof, I don't know.
Or go on, give me a name.
It'd probably be Danny Lane, I'd say.
Oh, Danny Lane, huh? Danny Garnacho.
He's our goal scorer, really.
He's our goal scorer. Okay. Who's going to be the first person to get a yellow card, Mr. Sullivan?
Maybe Ryan O'Flaherty, maybe.
Oh, my God. Yellow card. Will he get two yellow cards or just the one, maybe?
Depends how he feels.
Oh, my God. Fair play. Whose mother makes the best sandwiches?
All of them.
God, you're very neutral, isn't it? Huh? I won't ask you, Thomas Kane.
We're fish rolls and Jaffa cakes these days rather than sandwiches. We've moved on.
Well, the gang that won the 2015 one brought their own sandwiches, so there you go. You can go back to that.
No ears and graces.
No ears and graces. Listen, guys, the very, very best of luck. It's fantastic to have you. Fantastic last week to have the girls in, and they won their first game. So if Omens are going like Omens do, you'll have a 2-1 win the first morning, and off you go. And sure, you're halfway through then, because only a 3-person group is it. Is the top two goes through in each section?
So how it works basically is that where you're placing in the group, then on the Wednesday that opens up, so there's the Kennedy Cup tournament proper is for the teams who finish first in the group, but the second place teams, third place teams, fourth place teams then go into their own
tournaments.
Exactly,
all that,
exactly.
So top the group is the first priority.
We're not going to make ourselves hostage to fortune, but that's the aim, and that's the expectation. And if we're aiming high, we'll hope that we can get as close to where we want to get. Donal, I just want to say one thing, which is, firstly, thank you for having us in, but I really have to thank the coaches who've worked with these lads in their clubs from the time that they came in through their clubs, and to thank the parents and to my the coaching colleagues and everyone at the Kerry School Boys and School Girls League. Thank you.
Fair pleasure. You'll make a producer. Up next is Talks Us, a woman from Galway. She's in. Get her autograph and get a couple of selfies. She's famous, that woman there. And we'll do all this next week again. Big thanks to Keane, of course, on sound this evening, and big thanks to Andrew as well, who's across in Mount Hawk Park, and John and Liam. And the very best look, lads. This time next week, I'll be calling out the result, and I'd say 4-1 to Kerry.
Hopefully, we'll be hoping. Thanks, Donald.
We'll do it next week.